Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're now in part number 20 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. I could be doing parts on this from now until the time that the Lord comes back to us again. And if you'd like to have this tape or CD, it's tape or CD number 122. All right, and so a lot of people want to listen to the tapes or the CDs over and over again and study them, because these are definitely Bible studies. And we have some letters today also, but right now let's go to up to the throne of the Lord. God forbid that God should not be sitting on the throne of your heart, but he also sits in the heavens. The Lord is everywhere, and we need to call upon him if we are going to have a good service, because I don't want anything that I say to be in this service at all. I want it to be only God. So, Father, you heard that. Let everything that's said be from your lips through mine and into the hearts of all the people that will be hearing this broadcast. Lord, it's your word. Your word is life. Your word is everything. Your word is Christ. Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, we pray that whoever, however many souls and shall be saved, that they will be. And you know how many will be saved through this broadcast, and that the church, your body, will be strengthened. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from, please?
From Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, let's hear it.
I thank the Lord for the Alamo Christian Ministries. It has continued to inspire and bless us. I am the chaplain of a Christian school. I thank you very much for what the literature has done in the school. It was through your Christian literature that I came to know the Lord personally in 2000. Many of Alamo's messages have been sent to me for distribution. I distributed them to fellowship groups, church services, and in my home Bible study group. I would appreciate very much if you would kindly send me two copies of your book, The Messiah, 20 Bibles for the members, your video messages, and cassette taped messages. Please, we, the Scripture Union, would like you to send us $80 to buy musical instruments to help us in the service. I would love to receive 50 pieces of literature, 5 Bibles of King James Version, 2 video messages, and 5 cassette tapes of your ministry. I endeavor to pray for you as you continue to help me become a great blessing to many. I hope to hear from you soon. Please remember to send me those soul-winning materials for the lost souls within our area. May God bless us all under his ministry. Signed, Alfred from Greater Accra, Ghana, Africa.
I'm sure we've sent all these Bibles and all the literature. And now, where's the next letter from?
Next letter's from Roxbury, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, I was so grateful to God that I stopped to accept your newsletter at the Port Authority bus station in New York on the morning of Monday, January 30th, 2006. I have read most of the newsletter from cover to cover. Please put me on your mailing list for future newsletters and literature, and if possible, please send me the book, The Messiah. I have enclosed a money order in the amount of $20. I will try and send donations whenever I can. Thank you kindly for your inspirational writings. Take care of yourself, and God bless. Signed, Marco from Roxbury, Massachusetts.
Well, praise the Lord. Send him everything, and we praise and thank the Lord for the $20 tithe. We'll definitely use it in the ministry. Now, where's the next letter from?
From Lagos, Nigeria.
Okay.
Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for your work your team of presenters are doing. I have been listening to your broadcast, and my soul has been blessed. Your radio program has become my favorite program every morning. I am a minister of the gospel for about 12 years on full time. I am Igbo, living in Lagos, Nigeria. I pastor an evangelical mission ministry with a vision on reaching the rural African communities. But here in Nigeria, a lot of things hinder the spread of the gospel in the rural areas. People believe that Nigeria is evangelized, but I'm telling you, it is a lie. The big churches in Nigeria built their network only within the capital cities and allow the rural dwellers to live idol worshippers. I am convinced after being your regular listener, Your organization can partner with us so that we can cover some of these areas in Nigeria, Africa, and other parts of the world. The name of my ministry is Jesus Life Evangelical Mission. I believe in your sincere teaching of God's Word. My humble prayer is that God will enable your organization to support the spreading of the gospel not only through your radio broadcast, but also in planting and partnership with my ministry. For we only that the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. Remain blessed and continue your good work. I will be glad to receive your reply through my email box. I am yours in his vineyard, Pastor Paul from Lagos, Nigeria.
Okay, well, send him a copy of this tape and make sure that all the literature, Messiah books, and Bibles that he needs, that he gets them. And do you have another letter?
That was it.
That's it? Okay, well, let's now begin part 20 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. All right.
We've talked about God, of how to have God's life living in you. Well, everything is God. Everything is Jesus. Christ, who's David, he is the real David.
Now, let me explain something to you from the Bible, from the first chapter of Romans. The Bible says, the just shall live only by faith. Amen?
Amen.
There's no other way to live. And faith means that you're going to receive that Christ is everything. That there isn't anything else in the world that amounts to anything. The just shall live by faith. And so we know that the Lord created everything, the heavens, the earth, all the galaxies, everything, and everything that's in it, all the birds, the fish, the animals, the creeping things, all the grass and the herbs and the trees and the fruit on the trees and the seeds and everything. So that's life. So what else is there? He gave us the food and the water. He gave us everything. And now he has come into the world as a baby. He came to Abraham as a man. Amen?
Amen.
Then he came into the world in pregnancy. And he was in a became a pregnancy in a little Jewish girl, because so that he could have genuine human blood, because the Bible says there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. So God came to Abraham and told him that he was going to bless every nation through a seed, and that seed was Jesus, and still is. And so, who knew how this was going to happen? So, he came to Abraham as a man, and then he came into the world himself, God Almighty, in a baby, in a pregnancy. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
God Almighty became a little baby so he could go through all through human life and be here for 33 and a half years among us. Emmanuel among us, and then keep all the commandments, because the power of God is in him, just as the power of God will enter you, or that entered us, all of us that are born again of the Spirit, that gives us the power to not sin. When you hear these false prophets say that no one is perfect, they're lying to you. They're not perfect, so they want you to believe that no one is perfect, so that when they're out among you in the world, that when you see them doing evil things, that they'll say, well, you know, he said that no one is perfect, and so we're not going to condemn that guy. But the Bible says that we must be perfect in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so we, the Bible says that we must be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So he kept all the commandments, and therefore this genuine human blood that he had was powerful enough to take away the sins of all the world. Now the Lord, you know, at the time of the Tower of Babel, he gave all of us different languages. We all have the same, we all have different color skin, you know. There's white skin, or like what, I don't know what you want to call it, cream colored skin. Green skin, like us Jews, or the people from the Middle East, we have olive-colored skin, Italians too. And Then you've got the beige, which are the Mexicanos and the Puerto Ricans and the different Hispanic races. Then we have the Chinese, which are the yellow race, and then the red race, and all different color skins. But the Bible says in the book of Acts that we all have one blood. Amen?
Amen.
Everyone has the same blood running through them, even though we have different colored skins. We still all come from Adam. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, nobody should have an inferiority complex if somebody has made you feel like you're a minority or looking down at you because you eat tacos or you eat soul food or whatever you eat. That has nothing to do with it. You still have the same, we all have the same blood. Amen?
Amen.
And so even Jesus had the same blood in him when he came into the world. It had to be genuine human blood. And so when Mr. Hagee San Antonio says that he had a different kind of blood in him, that isn't true, because that's totally contrary to the scriptures. Then we would all think, oh my God, well, of course we can't be like Christ because he had a different blood. He was different from us. Once we become born again of the Spirit, we have the same power of God in us as he had in him. And he definitely made it very clear that he had to come into the world as a human being. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He went through, you know, a whole 9 months of pregnancy in his mother, just like all the rest of us, unless you were born premature or unless you, you know, were a few days late coming into this world. But he had genuine human blood, but it was he never sinned. That's what made it the detergent strong enough to take away all your former sins. And so, you know, you just have to believe in that. You're not going to take a blood bath, but by faith. Everything is by faith. The just shall live by faith. Okay, if you have faith that Christ came into this world as a man, because if you study world history, you'll see the four different empires, and you'll see that at the time that Christ came into the world, the Romans were in control, and because the Jewish method of execution was to be stoned to death. And so it just so happened that the Romans were in control when Christ came, and therefore the Jews were under the control of the Romans. And when they said to crucify Christ, the Bible said that he would hang on a tree or on a cross, is symbolic. So if it was in any other era of time, they would not have crucified him on a cross. That was the Romans' method of execution, was to nail people to crosses. So everything just worked out according to Bible prophecy with the Lord. And when he died for our sins, he also rose from the dead. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And then he ascended up into the kingdom of heaven. And if you believe that, because you cannot live unless you believe these things, because the just, those that will be justified at the judgment bar of God, you'll live by faith. In other words, it says you're going to have eternal life by faith in all the things that the Bible says. We live by faith. So I gave you the scriptures there. It was verse 16 out of chapter, I think it's verse 16 and 17 and maybe 18, in the first chapter of Romans. So before we go any further in this, you're going to have to believe the things that the Bible says, the words, because the Word is God, and God became a man. If you don't believe that, well, then you can't be saved. And he lived, he was born, he endured this whole pregnancy of 9 months in his mother's womb. Then he was born, and he was circumcised on the eighth day. And then he kept all the commandments. He worked hard as a young boy and a man. And then he was called into the ministry and did all these tremendous supernatural things that no one else on earth has ever done until they had Christ living in them and upon them. So go ahead and read that. Now, you must believe this or you're not saved, because you're going to live eternally by faith. Okay, read this. Now, you got to believe. In other words, faith means that you believe. Okay, go ahead.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
No, I'm not ashamed of preaching this, because it's the power of God. It's the power of God to be saved. It's the power of God, if you have faith or belief, is the power of God unto salvation, that you couldn't be saved. Go ahead, read it.
For it is the power of God unto salvation.
Right, it's the power. Faith is just, there's no other thing. You can't buy your way in. You can't, I don't care if you light 100 zillion candles, that's not going to get you in. You can ring bells, that's not going to get you in. You can say all kinds of Hail Marys or Our Fathers or stand on your head, stand on one foot, balance a peanut on your nose, you know, for all day long, every day of your life. That's not going to get you in. No kind of tricks. No amount of money can get you into the kingdom of heaven. Belief in the gospel. I'm not ashamed to say that I believe in the gospel, because it's the power of God. What?
Unto salvation.
Unto salvation what?
To everyone that believeth.
To believes that has the faith. Belief means faith, that you have faith, you believe. Amen?
Amen.
Do you believe?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, well then you're saved. That is, if you continue on believing in faith, that you continue on believing that God, His power, His in you, Christ in you, with His Father by the Spirit, is more powerful than the world government and the whole Antichrist movement today. Do you believe that? I do. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I preach fearlessly. There's no, you know, and even if somebody ended my life, you know, you don't end my life, because it's like getting out. If somebody ended my life, I consider my body like a, not even a Ford anymore. It's like an Edsel. They discontinued those a long time ago, all right? I'd be stepping out of this Edsel into a Rolls Royce, amen, a new one. This is better than a Rolls Royce. This is a very poor comparison. But eternity is to have life. It's the power of God unto salvation to those that believe, amen?
Amen.
That have faith. Because the righteous shall live by believing in the gospel. The righteous shall live by faith. That is belief in the words of the Bible. Okay? You'll live here and in eternity, and here more abundantly, and in eternity you'll have everything. Then what?
To the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Well, to the Jew first, right? Because the Lord came to the Jews first. But if you believe, that you become a spiritual Jew yourself, then what?
Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed.
Okay, so this is the righteousness of God. This is what makes you perfect. If you're righteous, you're perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Well, how do you become righteous? By doing all kinds of tricks?
No.
You think you could stand on one foot and balance one of these shelled peanuts or anything on your nose all day long?
No.
Thank God that we don't have to do that, you know, because we'd all go to hell, right?
Right.
Because I don't know whether I could balance the, you know, anything on my nose for very long. Amen?
Amen.
But I know that I can believe in God, and that makes it easy. That's different than religion. Religion is strict. The Old Testament, you had to bring a lamb, a ram, a dove, a chicken, a bullock or something. This is hard, and you know, and you have to take it. If you live several hundred miles away, you got to take it over to the priests. But they tried to make it easy, you know, and that they made the house of God a place where you could buy this stuff rather than bringing one of your own flock. Just give me a couple of chickens and a goat, or, you know, or a sheep or a ram or lamb or something, a bullock, and here's a few bucks. That isn't the way it is. You had to go and bring this these animals. That's all done away with now in Christ. It's just the just shall live by faith, that He's the true sacrifice. No more bulls or ox or sheep or goats. It's all by faith now, okay? You don't have to knock yourself out. In other words, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between religion and salvation. Okay? We mentioned a few things, like where the Lord lets his followers, in an irreligious way, go through the cornfields on the Sabbath and eat, pick, and eat, not only eat, but pick. In other words, do some work. Pick the corn and prepare it and then eat it. Well, he's, when the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed. By faith, you believe that he's the Messiah, so you can, and he's the Sabbath. He's the rest, so you rest in him. Not in the old law where you can't, I mean, we have to keep the moral law, but the old law where you can't work on the Sabbath. Amen? Amen. Or that's a certain Sabbath day. It's just like, this is it, boys. Friday when the sun goes down, and it ends Saturday when the sun goes down. Now it's the just shall live by faith. Amen?
Amen.
So you don't have to bring these chickens and bullocks and rams and lambs and everything to the priests anymore and have them slaughtered and all that. You just believe on that the sacrifice has come into the world now, and that he shed his blood for you, and you're saved by faith in that blood and the work that Christ, the God come in the flesh, the Almighty God, Emmanuel with us, did for you and for me. You understand? It's all by faith, because the just shall live by belief in that, not by keeping a certain day as the Sabbath. The only thing that's left of the law is the moral law. You can't commit adultery, fornication. You can't be a lesbian, a homosexual. But you don't have to do those rigorous rules anymore of, you know, sacrifices. Or you can eat on the Sabbath day. If you're hungry, you can, and there's something that needs to be done, you can do the work. You won't be condemned for that, because you believe in Jesus. You're in the bride chamber. The bridegroom is with you. Do you understand? You don't have to light candles. Throw the candles out the window. You don't have to say Hail Marys, because that really, you throw that out the window, okay? Forget about that. All these religions will have you doing that, you know, or paying you so much, paying so much money. Well, they say, these Catholics say, that if your baby died, and they can get them out of purgatory if you pay so much money. What if you're broke? What a heartless religion that is. You'd say, we can't, we don't have any money. We have to let our baby stay in purgatory and go to hell because we don't have money to pay this bunch of raving maniacs, these religious people that don't believe the gospel. If you don't believe the gospel, then you don't have the power of God unto salvation. So I'm preaching to you, religionists, you know, forget, get saved, amen?
Amen.
Have faith, because the just shall live eternally by faith in what God said. Now, Jesus said, you don't have to keep the Sabbath, just keep me, because I am the Sabbath. Okay? I'm the Sabbath. And I'm the Lord of the Sabbath as well. And if I tell you, you can eat, eat. Amen?
Amen.
All right, you understand a little bit better this time?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
From faith to faith. It's, everything is faith now. No rigor. Okay, then what?
As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live eternally by belief in the gospel of what Jesus said. Now, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, you don't have faith. Because the Bible says, the Word of God, God says that he is the Messiah, the Savior. And you just have to have faith in him now, because that's the gospel. Everything is Christ. The Bible even says there isn't anything that was not made by Christ and for Christ. Everything in the universe was made for him and by him. And everything is him. Amen?
Amen.
Do you have faith to believe that?
Amen.
Well, then you're saved. You're righteous then. Because righteousness is not dressing up in a, you know, a Tommy Can boots and also one of these Jim Clinton suits or whatever kind of suit you wear, and looking squeaky clean, you know, and getting your hair cut just right and short and driving a Chevy, you know, that isn't righteousness. The Lord, if he gives you a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce or something, and you know he gave it to you, don't be ashamed of it. Ride around in it. I'm not preaching prosperity by any means, that kind of prosperity, but sometimes the Lord does give things to you. But I'm saying we're prosperous if we believe in the Lord. We have everything because we have Christ. If you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got everything. Okay, but you have to get rid of all these religious habits that you've been taught down through the years. You got to stop all this ritualism and this pomp and all the other things that people do. Keep reading a little bit more here.
Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven.
Yeah, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against people that don't have faith, that disbelieve the word. You know the wrath of God? That's why the wrath of God is being poured out on this earth right now with these earthquakes, these tsunamis, these hurricanes, these tornadoes, these floods, these mudslides, and all the different diseases, infirmities, and sicknesses that are incurable. So the wrath of God is what?
Revealed from heaven.
And it's shown to us from heaven. Amen. Then what?
Against all ungodliness.
Against everyone that doesn't believe, that doesn't have faith. Because faith, you're saved by faith, but without faith, you're lost. So then comes God's wrath. The Bible says, he that believes, or he that has faith, is saved, and those that doubt are damned to hell. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, but how many preachers are preaching this today? Okay, I'm not trying to exalt myself. I'm exalting the Word of God, and I'm saying that the rest of the preachers that do that too, also, you know, everyone can do this. I can take the least esteemed person in this church and read these scriptures. Amen? Amen. They can get up here and read the scriptures. One of my sons is only 14 years old, and he can get up here and read these scriptures, and he knows that it's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
And therefore, he has faith. He has belief, and therefore, he's saved. Now, he may be, he may go outside here and trip on the sidewalk and fall down and skin his knee and everything, but he's still saved. Amen? Because he believes in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
He believes that he heals. He saves and he heals. And he's delivered us from the law of sacrifices, because the Lord was our sacrifice, and by faith we receive him. By belief we are righteous, because we receive him and we let him work in us and through us. Now faith, we have to communicate to the Lord with our spirit. So when we have to go to our spirit, why our spirit? Because the Lord's Spirit, if we're born again, the Spirit is mingled with our spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord and we are one. We are members of his body. Many millions of members in the Lord's body, just like there are many billions of members of the Antichrist bodies, people that disbelieve, that the ones that are damned. And the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven upon all those that don't believe. So it is up to you to read the Bible and to listen to it, because that's how you'll receive faith. You say, well, what if we don't have any faith? Everyone has been given the measure of faith. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, some people, I could give you, you know, if somebody come up to you and give you $100 bill to everybody in the world. Some people would use it the right way, and some people would use it the wrong way. Some people would go out and buy drugs with it and booze, or go to porn parlors, or go to a massage parlors or whatever. Then some people might invest it in the gospel, in which case would come back 100-fold. You'd have 100 times $100. it needs to donate that and to the Lord, and then it comes back a hundredfold again. Just read that verse again.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Yeah, in other words, who you hold the Bible in your hand and you continue disbelieving and doing what the Bible tells you not to do. You've got the truth, but you hold it in unrighteousness. You don't want to do it because you'd rather live according to the lusts that are in your flesh. You don't continue wanting the Lord to live in you, and therefore the Spirit of God won't live in you to mortify the lusts of the flesh. Okay, so the main thing is to have the Lord living in you, and if He is, then that deadens or mortifies the lusts that you have in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. And so the just will live by faith in the things that I'm saying, but what I'm saying is not what I wrote. I'm just telling you what the Bible, God, said. So when you disbelieve God, you're calling Him a liar, and He does not like that. Then comes the wrath of God for all disbelief, for all those that have no faith. Only the just, just the just will live by faith. You'll live eternally by your faith, and you'll be living with life and life more abundantly right here on earth by your faith. If you don't have faith, you're just hurting yourself. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can read the Word of God and get as much faith, more and more, and stack it up on top of the portion that you've already been given. Everybody's been given enough portion of the Word of God to believe, to receive the gospel. But the more you reject it, the more your heart gets hardened, and the more it's harder to accept. So you have to read and listen to the Word of God, because then that'll build your faith up, and that's the very essence of everything. Not in works. Your works are like a filthy rag. The Lord wants you to let Him do a work of God in you. But if you think that you're going to, you know, donate money to the Boy Scouts or the Ford Foundation or Rockefeller Foundation or to the Catholic cult or anything like that, or Benny Hinn, who is an out-and-out Catholic and is teaching people to believe in that cult, you know, you're not going to get any blessings. You have to believe the gospel, and if they're preaching a gospel that is not the gospel of God. Amen?
Amen.
But the righteous shall live by faith. Faith in God's word, not the Catholic or the religious people's word. Religion is a cruel taskmaster. And they say they're going around from one town to the other and one country to the other. Oh, just send me money, Benny Hinn says, and I'll go all over spreading. Not the gospel that I read in the Bible, but he's preaching and spreading Catholicism. A mixture of a little bit of gospel that makes it very counterfeit. Now, a counterfeit bill, if it's like a $31 bill, that's a joke, right? And nobody's going to believe that. Or a $7.50 bill. But when you see a real good imitation, just like these churches, they're an imitation, these Catholics, you know, and they look holy, they go around looking holy, and some of us that are born again don't look so holy. A lot of people say I look like a mafia guy. Other guys, you know, said that John the Baptist looked like a wild man, and Elijah, the real people of the Lord. It's always astounded human beings, the kind of people that God calls that do these great and mighty great works for the Lord, you know. And the Apostle Paul said that his appearance was, he had an obnoxious appearance to a lot of people. And David was just a little guy, you know. But they say David was little, but oh my, you know. He says, they said, well, you're going to try to get that big giant. He says, yeah, you can't do that. Well, I'm going to try. Amen?
Amen.
And he knew that he could in the name of the Lord. Okay, so you just have to believe the gospel. That's all you need is faith. You don't need ceremonies or these rituals. You don't need to light another candle for the rest of your life, okay? Or ring a bell or dress in a certain manner. You have to dress so, you know, you're thoroughly covered. But learn the gospel. This is the real stuff, okay? Okay, keep reading. Not here. Let's go on. But read that Bible, that chapter. They hold, in other words, a lot of these homosexuals and lesbians, they know the truth, but they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They still do things that even dogs and animals don't do. They're worse than animals. Women with women and men with men. They're so reprobate. They just you read in the Bible, they even tried to put the make on the Lord when he was there in Sodom, when he was visiting Lot, those angels. They'd even try to, you know, turn the Lord on. And that's why the Lord poured out fire and brimstone on that bunch of filthy dreamers, these people that are in lust every day of their life. They're not, they don't have their mind concentrated on the Word of God so that their faith builds up, but they forget God, and God says, I'll tear them to pieces that forget God. And that's why you see him just slaughtering people with earthquakes, tsunamis, and diseases. 1/4 of the entire earth population is going to be destroyed by diseases gotten from animals and birds. And another 1/3 of them are going to be destroyed by a meteorite that comes out of the sky. And then there's other plagues too that are coming that are literally going to annihilate most of the world population. And then the Lord's going to touch the world off with the biggest fire that has ever been in history. And then those that are burnt are going to remain burning throughout eternity in the lake of fire and in hell. So I would suggest that you get faith, because this is your justification, is that you believe. And you believe that you must abstain from sin. And the only way you can do that is to continue to read the Word of God and hear it, because that will give you the Spirit of God in you. You'll be going to your spirit, which has the Spirit of God in you after you're saved, and because the Spirit of God mingles himself into you when you accept him into your heart. And then that way it gives you the power to get rid of all your lusts. Just staying in the Bible will do that for you. You know, try it. You'll see. You'll say, well, this is too square for me. What, do you want to burn? What's a bit better is to live eternally in heaven or to be damned into hell for eternity. Believe the gospel. Believe that you have to be, if God himself, when he came into the world, had to have the Spirit and had to read and he had to pray all the time, he had to know the Word. He studied it, even though he was the Word. Because he had to learn everything that human beings, he had to learn the right way. Otherwise, he wouldn't be an example to us. Amen?
Amen.
He'd open up the Bible and say, it is written, you know, and so on and so forth. And he'd quote the, back in, not too long ago, in those days, the Hebrew writings were translated into Greek. They call the Old Testament, the Greek Testament, the Septuagint. And even Jesus used some of those scriptures in the Septuagint when he would be explaining the things from the Old Testament. And so it's okay to read the Septuagint, the Greek Bible. Those people in the New Testament, the intelligent people, spoke Hellenic Greek, with the exception of which is the same Greek that the Jews spoke all the time. And almost the entire New Testament was written by Jews. The only one that did not, that wasn't a Jew, was Luke. And he came later. All right? He just assessed everything from what the disciples told him and what he read from them. Okay, then, let's go on now.
Christ is the real David. The psalmist David was just the one that was pointing to the real Lord, and also, we live in houses, and we have to come to the time in our lives when we know that if we live in the house that we own, or the apartment that you live in, that this is not your real house.
That's not your real home. Amen? And this body that you're living in right now is not your real body. Amen?
Amen.
That isn't you. It's you that everybody recognizes, but the real you, this is just a carrying case made out of dirt, but the real you is the spirit in you and mingled with the spirit of God if you're saved. And when you go on, this body that you have now is going to be transformed into an ecclesiastical, a heavenly body, so that it won't be the same body you're living in. It'll look much better. There'll be no imperfections in your body, and we'll all have the same color skin there, because we all come from one person, one couple, Adam and Eve. We all come out of Adam. Amen? Even Eve came out of Adam, right?
Right.
Okay, so we all have the same blood. And we've been turned into different colors, but it's still the same blood. And everything comes out of, the whole body of Christ comes out of man. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, we have to gather the Lord's body by preaching the gospel to man. And when they come into the body, the Lord's body is composed of men. Amen?
Amen.
That have the Spirit of God in them. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So you're learning something. Amen. Okay, go ahead.
Your house is not your real dwelling place.
No, the kingdom of heaven, the body of Christ, the temple. The Lord is the temple. And we're his temple. Then what?
When I first was saved, I realized that the Lord was my dwelling place. That any place here on this earth is not mine anymore. I know that when I'm living...
Well, the Bible says that we're just pilgrims, you know, wandering through this life. This is not our... This is not our country. We seek another country. Amen?
Amen.
A heavenly one. We're new creatures. We've got to be a new place for our new creatures. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
I know when I'm living in a house, I'm living in an apartment, or I'm living in a hotel room, or wherever I'm living.
Or a hut, you know.
These places are not my dwelling places. It's not the real thing, the real deal. The houses that I live in, or the apartments, whatever, they are nothing. The Lord is my dwelling place. He's my house.
Yeah, we have to have a dwelling place here. And whatever the Lord gives me, I'm going to live in it, you know, temporarily, but it's not the real, eternal place. Okay, what else?
He is the real place for us to live, to dwell. He is our real living place. So you might believe that Christ is the real David, and I'm going to prove that in this message. And that he is your real spiritual food, which is the Word of God. Christ is the Word of God, and Christ is your actual living water.
Yeah, because you live by faith in him. If you have faith in him, then he's your living water. If you believe in him, he's your living bread. So if you want to live by faith, he says you got to eat him as you would bread, but you eat him through your eyes by reading or your ears by hearing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that gives you your spiritual strength. That gives you your faith. Because the just shall live by faith. Okay, then what?
Christ is your actual living water, the Spirit, and Christ is our life. The Word of God is our light. So Christ is our light. Christ is the Word, and that Christ is our life.
Yeah, the Word spoke and there was light. Let there be light. Amen?
Amen.
So, everything that comes out of his mouth is him. And he created light when he said, let there be light. And then we are like photographs of him. He says, let us make a man in our image. In our image let us make. So an image, you just, it's like a photograph. I know when I thought when I see Jesus, well, I'm going to be so afraid. And I thought I won't see him until I get on the other side. But he appeared to me in my own bedroom. Sue was sleeping and I was just, I don't know why I was wide awake. I was wide awake. And here came a stick cloud. Looked like about 3 feet or three and a quarter feet long. It was in the air. And then it turned into an oval shaped mirror with a sound. You could hear it go shh, and it formed right into, and I looked in the mirror, I mean I could see it, and it was the Lord sitting there, and he looked just like a man. There was no fear whatsoever. It's just like looking at somebody else. Very handsome man, and I thought, I knew it was the Lord. You'll know him when you see him, because he created you. You know your creator. You'll know him. And it doesn't frighten you a bit. Now, it would frighten me if he had a rod in his hand and he was shaking it in my face like he's going to do some people. But I could tell he knew me and he liked me. But he was warning me that I wasn't doing all the things that I should be doing, such I wasn't reading the Bible enough. And so I really praise and thank the Lord for that. But he's not frightening to see. He is like so wonderful to know and to see. All right, then what?
The life we have is just a temporary life, but the life that we have in Jesus is the real life, the eternal life.
Right, when Jesus comes into you with his Father by the Spirit, that's the real life, the immortal life. You don't start living in eternal life when you go to heaven. You have to start living eternally now, because we're in this dimension now, but the kingdom of heaven is another dimension that the people of the world don't know. And so we just receive, we can see into the new dimension, the kingdom of heaven. It's the fourth dimension, amen? The unseen dimension, the dimension that we can know by accepting the Lord, because we become new creatures, and new creatures can see eternity. We can see it, amen?
Amen.
And we can see it in His Word, and we have the Comforter. We have the life-giving Spirit. We have the Lord with us, and He tells us of eternal things, amen?
Amen.
That you don't know. So, even though we're here on this earth, we're also part of the other dimension, the spiritual, the kingdom of heaven dimension, that you can learn of at the end of this service. If you want to start beginning to learn of the Lord, then ask the Lord to enter your heart, and then we'll go from there. Okay, go ahead.
We all need to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the very earth on which we stand, walk, and are living on. He's the land. Yes, Jesus is all the land on this earth. We experience living on a certain piece of land on this earth, but we have to come to the realization that the earth is not the real land, that it is the permanent dwelling, it is not the permanent dwelling place. The world, this earth, is nothing but a figure or a symbol or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Of the kingdom of heaven, because the Lord is the kingdom of heaven as well. He's everything that is symbolic and everything that is real. This is a metaphor. Everything in this world is a metaphor of the real thing. A symbol, a figure, a type, a shadow, a metaphor. Okay? Then what?
Christ is the real and true earth to us. As I said in yesterday's message, food is a figure, symbol, or type, because Christ is the real food. Water is just a symbol, a figure, or a type. Christ is the real living water. And light in this world is just a symbol, figure, or type of the life that we now have. The temporary life is just a figure, a symbol, or a type of the real life. And the land that we live on is just a figure, a symbol, a type as well.
It's a symbol, a figure, a type, a shadow, a metaphor of heaven. Now you say, well, boy, we don't want to have this to be a metaphor. But heaven, there's no sin. There's no rebellion. There's no evil people there whatsoever. There's no violence, no sex. You say, well, man, if there's no sex, I don't want to go there, right? Well, the ecstasy that's there is so far beyond the sex feeling. It's just, you wouldn't even think of it. It's like billions and trillions of times better because you're in constant ecstasy in heaven. Ecstasy. Oh, grand ecstasy. Amen? Bible says that all of our uncomely parts are gone. There's no reproduction. The only reason that the Lord put sexual organs on us is to reproduce. He said, be fruitful and multiply. But only the ones that go to heaven are the ones that's going to be there. There's not going to be, God forbid, that anybody could breed there, because it could be a bunch of bad people come out of people there. But that's it. The bottom line, let those that are holy just stay holy. Let those that are righteous, they be righteous. Let those that are evil be evil. There's no more reproduction after heaven. There's no need for those parts there. All right, and so I'm just telling you that don't worry about that, because there's no greater sensation of ecstasy known to human beings. There is. You wouldn't even think of it there. That seems hard, you know, when you're in your flesh and you've got all these lusts going for you. But just get the Spirit of the Lord in you, and you'll get a foretaste of the ability of the Spirit to be able to take away all the lusts of your flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the lusts of the flesh, and the pride of life. All that goes out the window. You'd be so hung up on yourself if you looked in the mirror. You'd be flirting with yourself all the time, right? I mean, everything is so beautiful there. You could just get a look at a door of somebody's dwelling place there, or just their eyebrow, and you could look at it forever. It's so beautiful. Or a person's ear. You just can't imagine how beautiful, and the hair. The hair is glistening and beautiful. And your eyes, the lips of a person, their nose, everything in the body is perfect. There's no imperfection in heaven. No matter what you, if you hate the way you look here, if you're going to heaven, if you're born again in the Spirit, you're going to love the way you look there. Nobody's going to complain there. There's not one complaint. You'll be well satisfied with the way you look, the way you feel, and with the ecstasy. You'll love living in ecstasy. All right? Don't worry about it. Amen? So if you want that ecstasy, you have to stay away from this ecstasy people feel, brief feeling of it, which is meant for married couples, and to breed and to enjoy one another, because you're together in as one. But it's nothing compared to a constant ecstasy. Would you say? I don't think so. All right. I know so. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm familiar. I'm familiar with the Spirit of God coming down upon me, and I've been slain in the Spirit so many times that it's just. And that would be the farthest thing from my mind. And that's just a tiny foretaste of the kingdom of heaven. All right? Amen. So get the Lord's life living in you, and you'll begin feeling some heavenly ecstasy right here on earth. Because that ecstasy the Spirit of God is what mortifies your the lust of the flesh. And that's how you're able to not sin anymore. And you say, well, I was born a homosexual. No, you weren't, but even if you were, that's why you need to be born again. Amen?
Amen.
Born again of the Spirit, the ecstasy. The Spirit of God, which gives you ecstasy and mortifies all that horrible, evil craving in the flesh. All right? Oh, I see my time is up again. It always happens. So, I mean, right now, those of you that don't know the Lord, we're going to ask you if you want to be in ecstasy. Even a foretaste of it here is much better than there's just nothing to compare to it here on earth. So, if you want a copy of this tape, it's tape 122. Or if you want a CD, it's 122. So ask for it. It's free of charge. Everything is free of charge over here. The Bibles, if you need one, or the literature, Messiah books, whatever. But right now, repeat this prayer to the Lord and mean it with all your heart and soul and mind. Surrender yourself unto the Lord. He'll give you everything because He is everything. He'll give you Himself. Say to Him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood to take away, to forgive me for all the former sins that I have committed. And I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all the filthy sins that I've ever committed away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Lord, just let your Spirit just enter into me now and mingle with my spirit and make me a new creature and let me feel some of that heavenly ecstasy. And let me feel it always as I read and pray and listen to the Word of God. Lord, I just raise my hands up now and I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, bless my life now and use me in whatever manner it is that you want me to be used. Amen. Now raise your hands and thank and praise the Lord for saving your soul. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Now, those of you that would like to order this tape or CD, it's program number 122. And you can receive it by calling
area code 479-782-7370.
And you can email us
alamoministries.com.
Okay, or else you could write us at the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box
6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505.
And what else?
You can fax us at area code 479-782-7406.
Remember, ask for tape or CD number 122. All right, well, this is World Pastor, and tomorrow you're going to want to tune in to part 21 of How to Have God's Life Living Into You. And until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, praise the Lord, God bless you, and continue on in Him. Those that are saved will be the ones that continue on to the end. Amen.